Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, tell about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove between the demo and the ready room. Hey, come out Friday, June 3rd, there's a whole new shipment of vinyl coming in. New records from Panic at the Disco, Mavis Staples, Elliott Smith, Ray LaMontagne, Lake Street Drive, Tame Impala reissues, Motley Crue reissue, Pink Floyd, Paul Simon, and all kinds of stuff going on. So if you want a full listing of this, check out the event on Facebook or musicrecordshop.com, and you can check that out. So yeah, and then Friday, June 3rd, I mentioned, there's free Four Hands beer going on. They've got record spinning and 10% off any purchase. So they do this all new music happy hour every Friday. So come out, check those out, and be sure to follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram for exclusive deals all the time. And also be sure to check out their always growing local music selection. Check out the shelves over there. They've got tons of great CDs, tapes, and vinyl of some of your favorites around town. And if you want to get your stuff on the shelves, be sure to reach out and ask them about how you can make that happen. Again, follow them online, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, musicrecordshop.com.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, everybody. This is Sarah.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
Hey, yo. I'm Mel.
Hi, I'm Catlin.
And we are the Vigilettes.
Like, everybody talks together. Everything slows down so much.
We are
Hey everybody, Shane Pressley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out with the Vigilettes.
Yay.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hello. Thank you for having us.
This is episode 227.
Yeah.
227. Pretty crazy.
Good number.
Yeah. So, I've kind of, you know, I mentioned them a few times, but, like, the show, I started, and I was interviewing a lot of friends and, you know, people bands I knew and think, and they kind of got to a point where I started reaching out to more and more people that I was unfamiliar with and get to know them more, and so that's a lot of how this episode is taking place. This is our first time really getting to meet and talk, and so I appreciate you all hanging out with me today.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
excited.
This a lot of what happens, you know, I like again being pretty involved in St. Louis music over the last few years. Bands start to pop up on my radar with I keep an eye on a lot of the calendars around the different venues, and I started seeing your old name a lot, so I started keeping an eye out, and I wanted to sit down and, again, like I said, get to know you all a little better and talk about the band and the tunes and everything else. So I think one of the first things got the ball rolling. I ran into Melanie at what was that, Bruiser Queen, or was that Brother Lee?
Brother Lee at the Halo Bar. Yeah. But Bruiser Queen was there.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we were all just hanging out in the audience. So.
Nice.
But we got to talking that night, and I said, "Hey, let's get one of these going." And so
and here we
are. Here we are.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay. At our practice space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kirk.
Kirk. Yeah. So, I guess let's start. I guess at the beginning, huh?
What when does this group come together? I mean, how long have we been a band now?
About a year and a half now.
Yeah.
Sarah and I went to high school together.
Yeah. But we didn't really, we knew other people that knew each other.
Yeah.
Like kind of a friend type thing, but we started hanging out like right after we graduated. Yeah. It was like a graduation party.
Yeah. And then Sarah and I just became friends and hung out all the time, and then we became neighbors.
Yeah.
And then we played music a lot together because we were next door neighbors. And
in the same building.
In the same building. So mm-hmm. she was across the hall from me, yeah. basically. And then we just like got together.
Lots of guitaring,
lots of wine. Guitaring and wine. And all that fun stuff. And then I met Jesse a couple years later.
Yeah.
At the bars. Manja, CBGB, South Grand. And Jesse and I became friends. And we played music a lot. And then the three of us played music a lot. Like some drunken nights.
People noticed it too. I remember people noticing it like, holy shit.
Yeah.
This is good.
We would go over to Jesse's house and party and stuff and play music. And then I moved away for a couple of years, about 2 years. I lived in California. And then I moved back, started hanging out with Jesse again. And she's like, hey, I'm in this project. We're playing music. We're kind of looking for another guitar player. Mm-hmm. And so we started playing with Ramona Flowers.
And then the lead singer, Dawn Gray, I was friends with her on Facebook. I just knew her through mutual friends, and I saw her post saying that they were looking for a female drummer, and I had been in a previous band beforehand, and I was looking, you know, to itch that scratch. I was missing the music scene, and I saw it, and I just jumped on it right away, and that's how I met
But Sarah wasn't in it.
Yeah.
No, I she just did a lot of
supported. She supported us a lot, and then we kind of parted ways, and then gained Sarah. And
now we're the Vigilettes.
And the rest is history.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So where does the name come from then?
It took us forever to come up with a name. Yeah. Like, we had, like, lists and, like, we were, come up with all kinds of different stuff.
We wanted to find something we all found that really we could really
fit
feel.
Us. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
All of us together.
And it's, like, it's not an actual word. It's taken from, you know, vigilante, you know, fight for justice. And to make it Vigilettes, we're females in the music industry and fighting to be heard,
fighting to be equal
and respected,
and fighting for like the justice of the music, not their egos. And
exactly.
Not to be, you know, we want the music to sound good.
The rock and roll is number one.
Yeah. Basically. Exactly. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. So we all, Sarah actually came up with it, and we were like, as soon as we heard it, we're like,
oh my god!
That's it! It was a good moment. It was a really good moment. We kind of, I felt like a strengthening in our bond.
Oh, yeah, completely. And I gotta tell you, like, I've never had a camaraderie with people, like, any kind of group of people than I have with these women. Yes. And they're fantastic. Aww.
Really special. Such the right balance. It's like the four elements. It's, like, so perfect. That's how I feel. That's
cool.
It's very cool.
We're all very different. Same.
Yeah.
That's
fine. We compliment each other better than I ever could imagine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went through some of that when we were trying to find the name of the show. We had a long list of names, and we were trying to think of like some, you know, like 90s pop culture thing or something, you know, something we had a whole list of them, and then we threw it out on Facebook to our friends, and Rock River Podcast was like the runaway winner, so we're like, all right, cool, there it is. You know,
really
so
awesome.
I like it.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
Very much a fan of that.
Yeah, so the name is it's always something. You know, it's like it really is like nothing. You know, in the grand scheme of things, you know, like it's just your a name, but it's like it's so much thought that goes into finding that one name that you know, one you identify with, but two that.
It's
you
kind
know.
Of a journey in the
sure.
You
can relate to.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think it was like Dave Grohl was saying something about like Foo Fighters' name, you know, and like how he thinks it's he thinks it's pretty silly now, but like, if he's like, if I knew I was going to have to be go by Foo Fighters for the last 20 years, like, or 20 years later still, I mean, I would have thought of a better name. But yeah, so there's a lot to it. But yeah, I think you guys picked a good one. It's,
thank you.
And then we had to Google it and make sure that no one else.
Yeah.
We Googled a lot.
We did.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Hard.
So we are the only Vigilette.
So the group's been together like a year and a half, you said,
mm-hmm.
and then we're gearing up towards a record release sometime this fall.
We're excited about it.
August.
Yeah. Hopefully,
we're
shooting
for August.
Yeah. Cool. So, and that'd be a full length or EP?
It's
going
to be a full length.
Yeah.
10 songs.
Nice.
10 songs. We're going to have like a, you know, a special edition one with all the lyrics and like pictures and and then a regular one that people want all of that. But
Do you all like, write a lot together, or how do you form a lot of these songs?
We started out with like a few songs that were already sort of pre-written by either Mel or Jess, Kat, but then eventually we started just writing together, us four fully, basically.
Yeah. I feel like me and Mel usually come up with like a skeleton of a song.
Yeah.
And then everyone just kind of writes their part to it.
And then we collaborate.
And then there's I feel like every song's different.
Exactly.
It really is.
It's a different writing process for almost every song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, one of us will just hear, like, a harmony or, like, a melody, and then someone else will think of the harmony.
Yeah, there's been a few times that, like, you've sent me just, like, Sarah just will just, like, sing something, and then she'll send me whatever she's singing, and then I'm like, ooh, I'm going to, like, try to write a guitar part to this, or, like,
all the other lyrics, too.
We definitely
I kind of go by, like, a pop artist type way, I think, me personally, like, the singing, the lyrics, and then it's kind of...
Yeah, I usually did it on, like, on just acoustic. I'd either start with the music, or I'd start with lyrics, either one, and then I'd add music to one or the other, and then just bring it to the band, and then we grunge it up, or we slow it down, depending on what everybody feels, and, you know, because...
Kind of go about it a couple different ways and see what we like.
Yeah, or else, like, you know, I'll come up with lyrics and bring it to the band, and we'll come up with music.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's all very much a group effort for all of it.
Yeah. Pretty much every song has been, like, totally...
All of us.
Group effort.
Right. Yeah.
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 Well, that's cool. Like, at least there, you know, like I said, there's no egos and stuff involved.
Yeah,
so it's
exactly.
There's no,
this is my song. It has to go this way.
Right, and a lot of people always assume, because we all sing, and then people tend to assume whichever song we're singing is the one that we wrote.
Yeah.
And that's not the case, because there's a lot of songs that, like, I've written, or Sarah's written, or, you know, Mel's written, and we give it to somebody else to sing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, just like whoever is going to do it the best.
Yeah.
Whoever's going to give the song justice.
Sure.
Exactly. It's all about the justice.
Yeah.
It's a good one, Kat.
It's true.
Yeah, one of our newer songs, Like You Know You.
Uh-huh.
Like, we came up with that in, like, one night.
Kat had the
guitar down, and then she showed it to us, and Mel was like, just came up with this cool beat, and I was like, oh, let's try this weird bass line. Okay.
Yeah. And
I was
perfect.
Like,
and then Sarah just made up lyrics
and she just
on the spot.
When I heard the song.
Yeah.
It was kind of magic.
Amazing.
It was. Yeah. And it's like, it's about us, too, which is what touches my heart.
Thought about
our friendship.
Yeah, words
we know
that describe our connection, and I just kind of went with the beat and the melody.
Yeah, and we record our practices, like, on our phones and stuff, and it's not, like, it doesn't sound that great, but at the end, we're all, like, you can hear us all, like, screaming and laughing, and we're like, oh, shit, that was amazing! It's so cool.
We all clap.
Yay! We all, like, laugh after every single song.
That was awesome!
Very supportive of
We're each other's teachers, each other's students. We're like everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Teacher, student.
Yeah. So where are we recording at?
Utopia Studios with Tazu.
Yeah.
Tazu Marshall. He's amazing.
Genius.
Yeah. Is there anything crazy happen over there yet? Or any stories from the recording process at all or anything?
One, actually, for me, it was for Songs After Surgery, and I was trying to do, like, the very end of the song. Yeah. And I was trying to get, like, a cool fill-in, because I was like, you know, I want something cool on there. And, you know, I kept doing take after take, and I was I just don't like it, I don't feel it, and everybody's in, you know, on the other side just like, you know, you can do it. And then finally, my boyfriend, Bryce, he picks the mic up, and he's like, no, just go ape shit on the drums. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll try it. And so we play it, and I just lost it on the drums and went crazy and dropped a stick in the process, but kept going. And then after all that was done, Taz was like, yep, that's the one we're going to keep.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Such a mess.
A lot of this show, anyway, that this is just tuning in, a lot of my brain is just song lyrics and movie quotes. Whenever I think of playing the drums, or I have the urge to say it every time I had a show, but I go to the Step Brothers, play the fuck out of those drums, Dale.
Yes!
So,
yes!
That's
out. So anytime there's a drum solo or something, I always have to, like, I always look around, make sure there's not a bunch of kids. I'll try to be considerate. But, it's just like,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
That's all that's pretty much going on up there.
That happens to me too. It's like that movie and like Dumb and Dumber, like all your classic, you know, comedy movies.
Sure.
There's always a quote for something.
Yeah, I quote Forrest Gump at least once a day.
I do too.
Yeah. I'm definitely a Simpsons quoter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Simpsons and Clueless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clueless.
Clueless. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good one.
I found that I'm a huge stand-up comedy fan as well. And I feel like I quote Mitch Hedberg almost daily. He's just one of those. I mean, he's got a joke for like everything. So obviously, it's pretty easy. But like even like some, I was like something like at the vending machine or whatever the other day, and I thought of a joke where he's like, you know, what if there was a vending machine for vending machines? Like, would that be real fucking big? And like.
I like how kind of abstract his.
Yeah.
I tried to tell. I had an interview for a job once, and they were like,
"This is
tell
a story."
I love the story. They were like, it was like a bunch of them, and I'm like sitting at the end of the table, like so nervous. I'm already a nervous person. Like, why I have to talk to people like this? Sorry. And they were like, "Tell a joke." It was for like a bartending job, and I told one of Mitch Hedberg's jokes, and it was like a sort of longish one, and I told it like horribly. And I was like, because I don't know, you have to. That's the beauty of Mitch Hedberg, you know. It's the way
it's the
delivery,
way he says
you know?
It. Yeah.
I was like laughing to myself, and they were all like staring at me, like, oh. That was funny. Yeah, okay. I was just like, okay.
Did you get the job?
I got the job.
Okay. Good. Here we go.
But
sometimes it's when
that
people
again.
Say when they deliver it like so ridiculously,
yeah,
that's like the charm in it.
I was laughing to myself because I was thinking of the way he said it. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, so funny, but I didn't tell it the right way.
You told it the jest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's horrible.
Yeah.
I could do that again.
Well, at least there's a happy ending to the story.
Yeah. At least I get the joke.
What was it, the joke where, because he's got the joke about the job interview, he says, where do you see yourself in 5 years? And celebrating the 5th anniversary of you asking me this question.
What was the joke you even, what was it?
I think it was like, the
I'm
carrot. I know, you're making a joke. It's the one with like the carrot
PTSD.
And the onion ring or something. And he's like, man, I wish I could just, like, eat both at once, like a carrot and then an onion ring, and then when they both get down to my stomach, the carrot's like, it's cool, man, he's with me.
I don't know what I'm saying. I think that's my favorite one. And I think I prefer how you
say it. See, that's terrible. I can't.
But you got the job.
Yeah. I got the job. I'm going to work on my midterm.
And you were laughing while you were saying it?
Yes, because I thought it was
that's so awesome. Oh, I'm sorry. Noises.
Sorry, guys. Yeah. So, what? I mean, I'm sure you all come from very different backgrounds and such. But who do you all like credit for individually getting you involved in music and some early influences and things?
My dad.
Your dad?
Yeah, he's been playing guitar since he was like, 50 years, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesse and I's answer are probably the same.
Yeah.
My dad, too. He played classical guitar with his nails. I was spoiled.
Yeah.
I was a spoiled child with that.
I always wanted to play music. So my parents got me, like, a keyboard when I was little, and I just played keyboard all the time, and then my grandma taught me all the songs, and, like, we sang a lot, and,
Your parents would blast the same stuff my parents would blast.
Yeah, my mom was, like, the Police, and Pretenders, and Violent Femmes. Like, my mom was into all that stuff, so.
Violent Femmes are coming to the pageant.
I got a guitar. Whenever I graduated high school, my grandma gave me money for a car, and I bought a guitar instead.
That's awesome.
And so, but with the drums, it's actually kind of interesting. I used to be into tap dance. I did acapella rhythm tap, and I followed like Savion Glover and Gregory Hines, and I got into the technique where you kind of compartmentalize the bottom of your shoe into a drum kit. And so I started listening to all kinds of drums, like rock music, African drums, Kodo drums, like all over, and trying to like replicate it. And so I got like very fluid with as far as beat wise goes. And then my brother was taking lessons on, he got like a drum kit off Craigslist and he started taking lessons. And I went over to his house and he showed me, it's like the 4/4 beat, and I think it had taken him like about a month to get it. And I sat down and I kind of did it right away, and he was like, fuck you, Mel. And so like, I don't know, I've just been, the road to like my own drumming has just been like me just experimenting and watching videos and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, very cool. What kind of musical backgrounds, like, do you all kind of feel like you're going for, or do you consider influences to the sound for you?
There's a lot.
There's so much.
I know. I feel like there's a lot.
I was a choir and band girl.
So it's like we all have our own kind of like music that we like,
right.
And we all kind of like put that. I feel like we kind of try to blend it.
Yes.
A lot, and then certain songs are more like
maybe a little
sound
more
like this band,
right.
Not, you know.
Right.
But I guess overall, probably like a little bit grunge, rock. Like Sarah's got like a very,
I got
like
a little
soul-y,
poppy, soul-y
voice,
like,
and then
flair to it.
Jesse's kind of like. Like a little more like minor-y, like
punk rock,
Nirvana.
I like Rush.
Rush.
I want to be just like him someday.
Neil Peart.
Lots of like classic music, I guess, and then like, you know, female like vocalists. I'm like, I think we're all really into female vocalists.
Sure. And harmonies.
Harmony,
a big deal. Like Beach Boys, we love so much.
Sleater-Kinney.
Like The Cranberries. I don't know. What else?
Toon Yards. We actually, the very first time that we all, like, kind of hung out as band outside of making music was going to the Toon Yards concert.
The best.
And it was so much fun. I was, like, bawling my eyes out.
Yeah.
I get very emotional.
That was a fantastic thing.
Are you okay?
It was, like, so good. I love it. That was powerful.
It was.
So powerful.
It was
yeah.
amazing.
Goosebumps.
And just like a lot of local music inspires
yes.
us too.
Yeah.
Sure.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a big one.
Absolutely.
Well,
especially,
the,
you know.
The tennis lesson. I like what we try to do a lot is like different dynamics in each song. You know, like, mm-hmm. you know, like changing the tempo and stuff. Mm-hmm. We do that a lot. Like,
we do.
Try to.
Yeah.
Right.
We're working on it. Yeah. Better slowly but surely. But
yeah.
Yeah, like certain bands like the Tennis Lesson, you know, or the Mercs, they do that a lot.
And I love
yeah.
like mm-hmm. the tempo change in a
yeah.
middle
yeah.
of
the
song.
Oh my god.
Like, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as people ask me like what your favorite bands are sometimes, and I'm like, I think of local bands, like,
yeah.
sure. like those guys. Bruiser
Queen.
Bruiser Queen.
Yeah.
Pirates.
Dino Fight. Yeah.
Talk.
Kira.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. My whole back seat's covered in St. Louis bands and
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
All,
awesome.
All their CDs and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
so good.
Yeah, they, what, I thought, I think it's cool, though, like, that you, you know, you mentioned some females, but you're also influenced by a lot of guys that, you know, are rocking and stuff. But do you ever, do you ever let that, like, sink in that, like, you know, being a female rock band and kind of, like, paving a way here in St. Louis music, and then, like, there's going to be other young females looking up to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
like, well, these
I
are,
hope
you know,
so.
These
yeah.
are...
That'd be cool.
Sometimes
yeah.
we don't think about it because we're just so used to being musical, but we do,
yeah.
we're aware that it is, sometimes we are treated a little differently in how we could be very powerful and a
mm-hmm.
positive influence.
Sure.
And I think, like, you know, whenever we go to a venue or play with a band that we haven't played with yet or they haven't heard us, they're a little, you know, kind of underestimate us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
You
just never know.
And
yeah.
then after
yeah.
the
or they just don't
play,
think you're the band.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, and so when you're done with helping with the band,
you've been helping the boys,
you need to pay
the cover.
Pay the cover.
Yeah.
They are the band. They are the band. That happens to them.
Right. Yeah.
So we definitely, we understand that.
Yeah,
it's,
but I mean, it's not
power.
Like we're, you know, we're females, we're
yeah.
gonna do this.
Yeah.
We're here for music. And
yeah.
Sure.
Wanna make
right.
good
of all
music.
Music. Yeah, it's not just because we're women. It
yeah.
just
right.
happened to be that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate saying, oh, I'm an all girl band.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
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 No,
band.
I'm just like
a
band.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
like band.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with.
Yeah, I never told
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
And then they, well, I mean, they kind of assume, I guess, with the name,
mm-hmm.
but...
Right,
yeah.
right.
And of course it's empowering and everything, but that's not what we just want to...
But that's not the only
that's
reason
not who
why
we are.
We're,
we
sure.
want to be known as musicians
people.
And
right.
good
yeah.
musicians.
Yeah.
Which I think is part of having, keeping it, you know, powerful with other women, because
yeah, exactly.
we're looking at us, you know, not just as women,
right.
but as musicians.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Yeah, I think, I mean, that's like, I always think of like... The Runaways and Joan Jett and stuff. I mean, obviously a lot of, they were, you know, wanting to do their own thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted, they,
mm-hmm.
even though they were an all-female rock band, they wanted to be taken seriously as
yeah,
musicians
exactly.
and stuff.
Yeah.
But they, but yeah, they were some badass chicks and
mm-hmm.
they,
yeah.
you know, so. But I think there, I mean, even though, again, like you were saying, where you happen to be females in a band, but you're not, you know.
It's not the only
yeah,
reason why
right,
we're together.
Right. But I think there is, like, going to be that, though, where you're going to probably not as much right now. I mean, because the fact that most of your gigs are probably 21 and up, but hopefully,
mm-hmm.
you know, younger girls coming up will look and,
oh, yeah.
and see you all playing and be like, that's what
yeah.
I want to
oh,
be.
Definitely.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah,
that would
be amazing.
That's
definitely
yeah.
a good thing.
Yeah.
So.
I watched an interview with Sleater-Kinney recently, and they were kind of talking about how they got back together because they had been like split up for so long, and they got back together because they wanted to do that. Because like they were like, we were waiting for someone to take the torch after we stopped, and then it just didn't happen. So like we want it to happen, and so that's why we got back together. And I feel like they're like really inspiring to me,
definitely
in that way.
Yeah,
definitely.
For sure. Yeah. Let's plug some of these shows coming up. So you can see the Vigilettes June 11th at the Heavy Anchor, June 19th at CBGB. That's over on what's that?
South Grand.
Yeah, South Grand. I was almost said. I was almost thinking of Cherokee for a second. Drawing a blank. June 25th at Foam. And you said that's what Dino Fight.
Yes. And Bagheera. I'm super excited about that.
So
show.
Excited.
Like, all female fronted. There's only, like, two guys. So it's going to be really cool.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then into July, you got July 29th back at the Heavy Anchor. So. So some
stuff coming up.
And all over a couple different spots all over town. So a couple different neighborhoods. Coming to a town near you.
Yeah, definitely.
So are we, I'm guessing you're playing out a lot of those songs from the record and stuff, all that.
We're playing, like, a lot of the songs from the record, and then we've already written, I don't know, like, four more since then.
Yeah,
so we're already, like,
preparing for our next album.
Yeah, sure.
But we're also hoping to, after... doing the whole album release in October, going on tour.
Tour in October is what we're aiming for.
It's like a small Midwest
like
tour.
That's a big step. I mean, I think it's cool. You know, I've talked to a lot of bands, and they all, you know, obviously the goal is to go on the road and do something with it, and hopefully the crowds respond. It's, you know, it's tricky. I've talked to some bands, you know, and they'd very much rather just stay here. It's like, it's kind of that whole thing. It's, you got to find
your niche.
You got to find the balance for yourself in the band. Like, I know some bands want to play out every week or every, you know, a couple times a week even. And then you got bands that only want to play once every 6 months, it seems like, or something. And so it's like, it depends on what you're going for and things, but... Then some of these bands, they want to hit the road, and it's like, and that's what it was kind of telling them, or talking to them about. It was like, it's either you can play a show here at home and, you know, make a couple bucks and there's a pretty decent crowd, or you can hit the road and hopefully that, you know, sometimes there might not be only but a couple people show up on a Tuesday night and some, you know, so it's like, it's tricky to kind of find.
Sometimes you benefit later on because find out a week later, oh, these people were here, let's check them out online, and then it's more so.
Yeah, it's all a roll of the dice, I think more than anything, I think it's a great networking opportunity. Even if this tour is not like the you know, big huge success, you're going to meet a lot of cool people along the way. They're going to help you out the next time through.
Yeah, it's only going to make us stronger. I'm excited for the experience, and it's just going to be us four, and it's going to make us stronger.
Super excited.
I know
we've got a lot of great people, like Senyata from Cape of Swords is going to help us out, and like
going to help us like.
Give us some awesome advice.
So
we've got a lot of, and Bruiser Queen, they've already given us so much advice.
A lot.
Really good support systems over here.
For sure,
I love it.
I know.
Both are friends of the show too. Bruiser Queen and Cape of Swords. Trying to work my way around and get all my friends on here. So we're looking at tour, and you know, we got the record and things. Is there any other big goals we're shooting for? I mean, that's pretty obviously a pretty big deal.
That and just keep on writing and keep on playing.
I want to play more benefit shows. We just did one off Broadway.
Full frontal female.
It's like really cool. Like playing for
my husband said he's been to a good amount of ours.
lives.
Yeah.
And he said that, that the energy that night was probably the most powerful he's felt it in a while.
Yeah. So cool.
So maybe the female, you know, positivity within the community is really powerful. Than
raising money.
Than a lot of other.
Just playing music and having fun, and also you're raising money for like
a
good
cause.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think there's something to that too. Like I saw a video on Facebook the other day shared, but it was Florence and the Machine went to visit this young girl in the hospital.
Yeah, I saw that too.
That made me cry.
Yeah, sure. It was definitely you know, pulling on the heartstrings, but it was something. It's that just that act, you know, the where it's. The music's more than just yourself. It's like, you know, it's, and you can create so much good out of that for just, you know, what it can do for that one person or group of people or whatever. But it's like, when you step away from thinking about, oh, hey, we're going to make $100 at this gig or whatever, if we can change an impact and make, you know, raise some money for good or whatever it is, like, you know, that's something really special.
Totally.
Exactly. So, really using it as a tool for just so much more.
Not only does it help us, like, personally and, like, emotionally and, you know, getting out our energy, but hopefully it's helping other people, too, that can relate or inspire.
Making it really meaningful, the songs and the performances.
I don't know. What else we, okay, I guess we'll
there are some questions.
Yes.
We don't
want to
leave
Q&A.
Some pretty good ones came up on here.
Yeah.
There's some, there might be a couple new ones. I'm not sure.
We got, so I always like to do this. I like to throw your picture up here on Facebook and ask the fans and friends if they have some questions for you all.
Mm-hmm.
And, so, here we go. Jeremy wanted to know your favorite show they've ever played and favorite venue to play.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know mine, personally, was our show Friday at Off-Broadway.
Hell yeah.
I cried on stage because Sarah chopped all her hair off.
It was really meaningful. That
it
might
was
be a good
really powerful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We have it on video,
There's
too.
A video.
Desiree took an amazing video of it, and it's all on our Vigilettes Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. She could not be a better fan.
She's amazing.
She spoils us. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Utopia
with the Marks and Black Market Democracy.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites.
That was really fun, too.
They have great
I had gotten
there.
Really good feedback with that.
Foam with Bruiser Queen. That was so
that
much
was
fun.
Awesome.
It's hard to
all
pinpoint.
Of them.
Yeah, all of them.
Just for different reasons. But that's
yeah.
what we make a point into it being like that.
Mm-hmm.
We make it all count. So they all, just for different reasons.
Off-Broadway is probably one of my favorite places to do
the
that. Sound
is
amazing.
So
it's really nice.
My mom goes to like every show.
Yeah.
And my mom's like super supporter of us. But she's
I
think she's
mom.
Only missed like one, maybe two shows. So she said like the last Friday when she heard us, like the sound was just amazing and everything was just like perfect. You could hear everybody. So we hope to play off Broadway more.
Mentioned Desiree. She wrote in here a question. She said, she said, I would love to know how they all met and if they knew they were magical together from the beginning or if that came with time. So
we kind of went over that a little bit
earlier.
But did you know you were magical together then?
I
think
definitely.
I think that's why we're like, holy shit, is this real?
Yeah,
it was kind of like
and
a light bulb moment.
And it grows more and more, you know.
Yeah,
every
we only
surprise
ourselves.
Play together, you know, like, it just gets, we get closer and, you know, weirder together.
Definitely weirder. Right? In a good way.
Yes.
Then Dylan wrote in, which I guess this should, anyway, hasn't seen the picture. You're all making pretty silly faces in the picture, so.
That's the talent of ours.
Yeah.
Like to be funny.
Right. But Dylan asked, why is the one on the far left so awesome?
My eyes kind of do that a little bit naturally with my glasses off, so I just kind of like exaggerated it, and, you know, made a funny mouth, and just kind of
because we're all like really beautiful people, and it's really funny to make like the worst face ever.
just kind of embrace your goofiness.
Yeah.
Let it shine through the.
Yeah. You can't take yourself too seriously.
No.
Never.
We definitely don't.
Yeah.
I often get in trouble for it. My wife will want to take pictures and stuff, and I'm always making some dumb face and ruining all the pictures.
I have years of that. My family, my dad will tell you, he's gotten so mad at me and Josh, my brother, for making faces for like our family. Pictures take so long because we're all making funny faces, and my dad's like, "Come on, you know, like, just be serious." Like, oh, that's boring.
Serious is boring.
Screw that.
Yeah. Tim asked when he'll be able to obtain the album, but I think we addressed that as well.
Yes.
So August.
Yes. Shooting for August.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
And then Corey writes in.
Corey's amazing.
Yeah.
I love you, Corey.
You guys rule.
Yes. Rock.
Rock so hard.
She asked, "What song are you most happy with, and why? How does the writing process work for you?" Do you have anything new you're working on right now? So what song are we most happy with, and why?
That's hard.
That's really tough. I'm happy with.
I mean, I don't know. I think it. You know, all of our songs affect us individually. To a degree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think.
Is there one that you would like pick as like the single or something maybe from the record that'd be the one to push the most, or
I don't know. It's so hard.
I know.
It's really hard because I've let some people listen to like what we have. Like right now, it's very raw and rough and unmixed. But like everyone has a different finish.
Sure.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe that's
because we all each write, and so we all bring our own flavors to it, and so that's why each song doesn't sound exactly the same. And all of them have meaning behind it. Like, One Last is pretty dark, and that was kind of hard for me to write. And so I'm really proud of that one. And I know that, like, you with Nothing Is Yours, like, you took that song and just, oh, my God.
Yeah, that song is
that's really powerful.
So powerful. It's amazing.
You feel that one.
Yeah.
Really deep there.
I've taken your song, 86 on the Fly, and, like, that Mel wrote, and I've played it and cried before while I'm playing it, and she wrote it, it's I didn't even write it, but it means so much to me, it's like,
totally,
yeah,
I know, like, and then, I really like Humanity Machinery a lot. I
love that song,
because it's just, really fun, and it
has,
so many different
levels,
stuff going on.
We have so many fun songs. As well as, the darker ones, like the Kitty song. The Kitty song is amazing.
Yeah.
And Catelyn wrote that about her relationship with her cat, Blaine, who is the cutest cat ever. And
shout out to Blaine.
And it's kind of like a rock opera song. Jesse plays the cat, and Sarah's the human.
Yeah.
And the cat just, just wants the human to stay with her, and the human wants to stay, but she has to go out, go to work, succeed, but...
Yeah.
Can't wait to get back to each other and snuggle.
But it could also have different meanings, too.
I think I cried singing that song, too.
Yeah, it's, not necessarily just about a relationship with the cat.
It can be,
Like,
whatever you're going through.
Yeah, it could be a relationship with anything.
Yeah.
But,
it's definitely versatile.
Yeah.
A lot
of
our songs.
I like double meanings a lot.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Triple.
Yeah.
So our favorite ones are the ones where we're all playing together.
Yeah.
Which are all.
Corey also wanted to know what song has changed the most over time.
Okay.
Ooh. So, is there anything that...
Would we say Eclipse?
Oh, I forget about Eclipse. Like how it started.
I don't know if that's changed a lot, though, has it?
At first, I was going to sing it kind of quiet, and then I kind of made it, a crazy, loud ballad. Thing.
I feel like Vines has changed. Especially if you listen to the one that I originally recorded by myself, it is completely different. Yeah. Like, it's the same chords, but it's, so different.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good answer. Maybe Vines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's something, that's something I really get into, is, I like hearing, demo tracks or B-sides or whatever, and how a song evolved over time.
Yeah, I remember listening to the Vines, the original, because I listened to it to think of, harmonies to go with it. Mm-hmm.
That song really has come so far.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably that one.
Yeah.
It's a good
one.
Eclipse, too.
Let's see. What? This is from Bryce.
Bye.
Are there any particular hobbies or activities outside of your music that you turn towards to help rejuvenate your celebrity or your creativity? Your creativity towards your music. Also, what's your favorite cheese?
Mel cooks. I love to cook.
Cooking is definitely really fun.
I love to eat. I'm really into food a lot.
I'm just in general. I love food at all times.
So we just like to hang out and laugh.
We make videos a lot.
We love
really
making,
weird, goofy, videos.
Creative with videos, and just kind of collaborate a lot of different. Forms of media together. Mm-hmm. I get to use, help teach kids, really little ones, and I get to sing with them a lot, and that kind of, helps, I think, with me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of like a good switch up, so I can really rock it out with the girls.
Yeah.
And then I can be, Mr. Rogers with the kids.
Well, it sounds like, too, earlier you mentioned the Toon Yard show, and something like that, sounds like you all connected that night. So.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. We love going to local shows too. I love doing that.
You can find us either playing music or eating or being goofy. Shows.
Oh my god, I live for karaoke.
What's your what's the go-to karaoke jams?
I know Part of Your World, right. Little Mermaid for me.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Mel's the Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Jessie does that one song that's really pretty.
It's called Where I Stood by Missy Higgins.
Yeah, she sings it really well. Yeah. And Sarah always does Heart.
Yeah, that's true, I do.
Heart.
Maybe.
I was just thinking
about sometimes I do Alicia Keys.
Oh yeah.
Kind of getting the soul R&B. Mm-hmm. I was just talking about doing that old song.
Tracy Chapman.
Next time I do. Tracy Chapman's a good one.
And I do the Cranberries a lot.
Yeah.
Zombie.
Yeah.
Pixies.
Pixies. Weezer.
Joan Jett. Cherry Bomb.
Oh, yeah.
You do an amazing Cherry Bomb. Cherry Bomb.
Oh,
my God. Yeah. So good.
Yeah. You do Janis Joplin sometimes.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that's fun.
Hard. I usually I like to break out Baby Got Back.
Awesome.
You should come to karaoke.
Please.
So fun.
We'll
do a duet.
Quintet. That's my choir days there.
Yeah. Cheese.
Favorite I love cheese.
All the cheeses. So many cheeses.
Okay, I'll do it. Extra shop, champ. You're welcome, Bryce. You're welcome.
I love cheese.
I do like it.
Yeah,
smoked Gouda.
There's like the very first video I think we ever did, like funny all together, was like we made a
on our
video
band page.
On our band page, and we're like just being ridiculous, and we're singing about cheese.
Yeah,
and so that's
probably a good nostalgic check shout out there.
Gouda is my favorite.
Gouda is one of my favorites.
Gouda.
I like all the stinky ones.
Blue cheese.
Blue cheese.
Yeah. Roquefort.
Yes.
All of the cheese.
That's true.
The fancy cheese.
Yeah.
All American cheese.
The more moldy, the better.
Yeah.
Ellen wanted to know, can we have a slumber party?
Yes!
Just let us, please. Just tell us when.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Message us, lady.
Yeah.
Love you, Ellen.
Yeah. What else we got on here? Some of these I think we've already kind of covered, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there was another, another one I wanted to ask. On the other page. Sorry.
Oh, you're good.
No, you're good.
Excuse me.
It was, yeah. Blake wrote on the page also. He says,
"Hi, Blake."
Hi, Blake. He asked, "Is what is something you all consider extra cool or unique about your musical backgrounds?"
Okay. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. I was classically trained, and I think that's it's like a big deal. Flute. I had a teacher named Mr. Jotty, and he even wrote. He was well over 70 whenever I was like 9. So he wrote a song that Fred Astaire danced to a long time ago. He had like, he co-wrote something like a long, long way back when.
That's
so that's kind of amazing.
Yeah,
Mr.
Awesome.
Jotty and my dad were like friends. And cool. It was really cool. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. My whole family is just always, they're my grandparents, my brothers, my mom, my dad, everybody has just been into music
sure.
for a long time. My grandparents sing in their church choir, it's really cute.
Aww.
Yeah. My dad was always the youth group in the church, at our church, he was the lead singer and guitarist for so long, so still does it, so I just got that from them mostly. Mm-hmm. It was just always around, you know, music.
Mm-hmm.
At Thanksgiving, our family like sings this beautiful like old Catholic song, and it's like everybody sounds like choir together.
That's awesome.
It's, like,
that's
really
awesome.
Cool, so.
Yeah, my grandma definitely like when I was younger, we just like she taught me all these songs, and we would sing together. My grandma has a beautiful voice, and she's just like. She had a piano, so I loved going over there, and she'd, like, teach me song. Like, she actually taught me Bob Marley on keyboard.
Nice.
So my grandma was pretty cool.
She's so awesome.
I want to see that. Yeah. She was a Buffalo Soldier.
Soldier, yes.
She taught me. Like, she just picked it out by ear. She's like, here, this is how you play it.
Little cat playing
buffalo. So cute.
I guess about to close this thing up. We're gonna try to close it out with a couple of live tunes, right?
Yeah.
Let's
do it.
Hopefully everybody enjoys them.
Yeah. So again,
you
can come see the Vigilettes June 11th, Heavy Anchor. June 19th at CBGB.
Mm-hmm.
June 25th at Foam with Dino Fight. Who else is on those other shows?
June 11th is XOX.
Yes.
And what is it? What's the other?
Vandalion?
It's cool.
The Vandalions.
Yeah,
the
Vandalions.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
We get to know, we get to find out other music, too.
I know. Mm-hmm. I love, that's the best.
Yeah, that's part. I know.
Like on yeah. Infestus the other day when we played with this band called Kai and the Yodis.
Yeah. Yeah. They're amazing.
And they were like, they blew my head off.
Yeah.
And we, it was so awesome.
We're playing with them.
Oh,
it's
so good. Yeah.
So we like, we're like, hey, we have to play a show together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so they're going to play with us. At CBG, yeah.
Yeah.
Along with awesome. The Head, which is an out of town band.
Yeah.
We're really excited to hear them.
Yeah. And then
so soon. The 25th
is the Tit for Tat.
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Tit for Tat.
That's the 29th.
That's the
29th.
July. Oh, I'm sorry.
25th is.
That's Bagheera.
That's
and
the
Dino
phone.
Fight.
Yeah,
that's right.
Bagheera and Dino
yeah.
Fight. And then July 29th is Tit for Tat and Shut In.
Mm-hmm. And Muff Divers?
Thank you for saying that.
I'm sorry.
I didn't have to.
I'm excited for that show too because they played, those bands were the bands that played with us for our very first show.
Yeah.
So it's like
a reunion. It was amazing.
Yeah.
We had one scheduled for Manja and they got a hold of us and they were like, oh, we want you guys to play with us. We're playing. It was like that this weekend. We were like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Like, we weren't ready, but we
no.
did it.
Yeah, yeah, we did it. And it was
that was our first
so
show.
So much fun. Yeah.
We had, like, six songs.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It was so much fun.
Okay, it's called, they're called the Bloody Muffs,
which
oh,
is
what?
Even
the
worse.
Bloody
I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sure they're awesome. We're getting
the Bloody Muffs.
To play with them.
Wrong Muff innuendo there.
Yeah.
That is a very... graphic name. Yeah. I'm sure that they
I guess.
Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see them.
Yeah.
I really can't
I
wait to see them.
I know.
I gotta say, I'm pretty sure that's the first time that was mentioned, Bloody Muff was mentioned on the podcast. Podcast first right there.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice.
227.
Yeah.
And
then we have the Vigilettes Facebook page. Where
yes.
you can go follow the band, keep up with all these dates and future
Me
announcements.
Too, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other places they can find you at?
As of now,
not
just
entirely.
Oh, we have like a
Reverb
Nation.
We're gonna get
That's
a
true.
Band Camp soon.
Yeah.
We're just
yeah. Not,
we're doing
to
try to get some music
sure.
out first.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Band Camp's a good. I think that just a clean layout. I think it's a good way to go. So
yeah.
It's a nice site, and of course you can link all your shirts and stuff up in there later
exactly.
too.
Yes.
Run your whole merch store
right.
out of there.
And that's gonna happen
mm-hmm.
very
yeah.
soon.
That's
too.
Very very
also
soon.
The work.
Yeah.
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 We actually have a contest coming up, which is kind of cool. We've got a bunch of our artist friends are helping us out and like all making, creating like a T-shirt design for us, and then we're gonna have like a Facebook vote.
Yeah.
For like. The best design. I'm sure we'll end up making all
but
of
we're
them.
We're going to
make
yeah, all of them.
I mean,
if
they're not going to be t-shirts, they're going to be stickers,
we're gonna
be
use
buttons.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see all of these,
yeah.
all of these
yeah.
ideas.
That's kind of how I end up with my logo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
My buddy, Matt, he kind of got into graphic design stuff, and you know he's still doing it, but I was like, hey, this make me something cool. You know, so that's what he said. So, it's kind of fun to let your creative friends get creative and do
yeah.
something for
itself.
Yeah,
totally. Yeah.
So,
it's a
yeah.
good way for, it's good for them, too, you know,
sure.
to, like, get them
out where.
Yeah.
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 All right. Well, yeah, follow them on Facebook. Come out to some shows. Keep an eye out for the
yeah,
album.
Come say hi if you're at a show. Come
Don't
up
be
talk
shy.
To us.
Yeah.
yeah, talk to us.
And then stick around
Give
for
us
some...
cheese.
Yeah.
We love cheese.
We learned anything from this. Bring some cheese.
All the time.
Nice.
All right. We'll stick around for some live tunes. And
thank you so much.
Thank you
Thank you. Thank you. rock paper podcast, y'all.